Koinonia was started by visionaries. It is being built by visionaries, and it will continue to attract visionaries to join because Koinonia is a visionary church. People may say they like our preaching. People may say they like our music. Some people enjoy small groups. Many parents appreciate Kapos, our children program. Visitors told us again and again that they are impressed by our hospitality. Koinonia may be known by many things, but none of these things, in my view, if you ask me, are sufficient to represent what kind of a church Koinonia really is. To me, one of the most important features that stands out at Koinonia is that we are a visionary church. The adjective visionary may sound unfamiliar to many Christians when it comes to describing a church. Many adjectives have been used to describe churches, such as missional church, you may have heard of evangelical church, ethnic church, Chinese church, biblical church, spirit-filled church, loving relational church. But a visionary church? What are we talking about? This morning, I'm going to talk about something that is really close to my heart. Why visionary? Who are visionaries? And what do they do? I'm going to adopt a method that Jesus has frequently used in his teachings. Jesus used real-life examples, real-life illustrations as teaching materials. And he borrowed personalities and situations that everybody in his time are familiar with to teach people about the secrets of the kingdom of God. So today, I'm going to do something very similar. I'm going to borrow some real-life examples from the secular world to illustrate some truths about the church and the kingdom of God. I'm going to introduce you to three visionaries in the business world. Three celebrities, really, that most of you already know. And from their example, I'm going to draw parallel to illustrate how we are a visionary church. Now, I picked these three persons because they share one thing in common. They all have a humble beginning. Very much like Koinonia, they began as nobodies. When they start up the company, all they had was a vision. And some of them even have to, you know, borrow money from their friends, borrow money from their relatives to do the startup. They don't have an office. They don't have a factory. They don't have a following on Twitter. Nobody has heard of them. Nobody has heard of their companies. But slowly and gradually, they fought the battles. They've lost some. They have won some. But they have hold on, mostly they have hold on to their vision, and with a lot of hard work, with a lot of discipline, they have eventually become legends in their own right. Like this guy, who left his job at a hedge fund company to start his own business in a 400 square feet garage. The year was 1994. The internet was just beginning to take off. It was growing at a phenomenal rate. It was growing at 2,300% every year. Jeff Bezos saw an opportunity to sell products on the internet. So he made a list. He made a list of 20 possible things that he could sell online. And he finally settled down to sell books. It was a crazy idea at the time, right? It was 1994. Not many people have understood the internet, let alone buying stuff from it. You know, people may steal my password, they may steal my Visa card, they may all kind of imaginations. But he felt compelled to try, so he left his high-paying job, drove all the way from Texas to Seattle, and started a business from the garage of his home. And he called his company Amazon.com. 24 years later, you and I can't live without the internet. Everybody is either a prime member or you know somebody, a friend, a relative who is a prime member. You've got to know them because, you know, just in case you somehow you need a two-day free delivery, you know somebody. And we can buy everything online, whether it is grocery, battery, jewelry, fishing gear, hunting gear, electronics, games, and computers. You name it, Amazon has it. Jeff Bezos is now the richest man on earth. Amazon has a market value of $960 billion and is now the second largest company in the world. Now, I want to show you one of his interviews. He was commenting on one of Amazon's earning reports. Jeff Bezos was sharing how he sees the financial report of each quarter. So here it is.
I ask everybody to not think in 2 to 3 year time frames, but to think in 5 to 7 year time frames, to not think about when somebody says to me, congratulates Amazon on a good quarter, which is a very common thing to say. You meet somebody, they're being nice, they looked at your financial results for the quarter, they're like, good quarter. I say, thank you. But what I'm thinking to myself is, that quarter, those quarterly results were actually pretty much fully baked about 3 years ago. And so like today, I'm working on, a quarter that is going to happen in 2020, not next quarter. Next quarter, for all practical purposes, is done already, and it's probably been done for a couple of years. And so if you start to think that way, it changes how you spend your time, how you plan, where you put your energy, and your ability to look around corners gets better. So many things improve if you can take a long term. By the way, it's not natural for humans. So it's a discipline that you have to build. The kind of, get rich slowly schemes are not big sellers on infomercials. And so that's something that you have to sort of steel yourself for, discipline, and teach over time.
My take from this is visionaries see things not that as they are, but as they can be. They do not think in 2-3 year time frames. They think in 5 to 7 year time frames. When other people are happy, other people are comfortable with how things are today, a visionary is thinking about where he wants to take his company in 5-7 year time frames. He is anticipating what the market will look like in 7 years. While everybody is busy making money today, he is looking for opportunities out there in 7 years. Imagine what a difference that can make to your company. And like he says, it is not natural. It is not natural for us to see or to look and or to think that far ahead of time. It requires intentionality. It requires discipline. Most of us don't wake up in the morning and say, let me see, what should I do in 7 years? Where should I take this company in 7 years? Where should I take this church in 7 years? Right? Because we are busy preparing for this Sunday. We're busy preparing for the next Sunday. And if we are really good at it, we are preparing for the Sunday after that. Ordinary people see things as they are. Visionaries see things as they can be in 5 years, in 7 years, or even 10 years into the future. And this is exactly how Jesus describes the kingdom of God. Because ordinary people can't see how the kingdom of God can bring changes. How is it possible that a kingdom of God can bring transformation to their lives because they are too busy surviving or they are too comfortable with the status quo? So Jesus used a parable to help them understand. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and he sowed into a field. And it has to be the smallest of seed. But when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and it becomes a tree. So even the birds of the air would come and make nest in its branches. Birds of the air, right? That's what most people are like. they look for trees. They look for big trees, shady trees, and they look for flourishing trees. And when once they found one, they quickly build a nest, and they settle down, and they make themselves comfortable on the tree. Ordinary people are happy with building nests. Visionaries, on the other hand, look at a grain of mustard seed. They look at the seed, and they visualize a tree. And they say, I'm going to plant this seed here, and I'm going to water it, I'm going to take care of it, I'm going to protect it, and then some in time, it's going to grow into a tree. Ordinary people see things as they are. Visionaries see things as they can be in 5 years, 7 years, 10 years out. Koinonia was started by five families in 2006. This is the house that we have gathered in during the first few meetings. This house is still in Richmond today. And this is where we worshipped at Richmond Secondary School. That was our entire congregation when we started. I remember the first time I was at the multipurpose room, this very room, and I stood at this very spot, and I was wondering to myself, you know, what is it going to feel like when you preach to a bunch of empty chairs? How long will it take to fill this place up? How long will it take to fill this room up? At that time, we had no congregation, we had no building, no office, no equipment, no trucks, no money in a bank, no salary even. All we had was a vision. We had a vision of what this church might look like one day. And I found this document from the archive. This is our original vision. There are seven of them. And the first one says, biblical teaching that is relevant and practical, right? It's just not any kind of teaching. It has to be biblical. But it is not the biblical teaching that you will find in a seminary, not from a theological school. The biblical teaching has to be relevant, and it has to be, people has to be able to understand them, and they have to be able to apply them. Number two, worship that leads people to encounter God. Number three, small groups that enable Christians to love one another. Number four, children ministry, youth ministry, that make disciples. Number five, this community has a kind of lifestyle. It is a contagious lifestyle that demonstrate the transforming power of the gospel. Number six, generosity, giving, generous giving that blesses the society. Number seven, pastoral team that leads by God-given vision. So this is the Koinonia vision. This is the mustard seed that God has put into our hands. So we planted it, we've watered it, we've taken care of it, and we've protected it. Where ordinary people see a high school, we see a sanctuary. Where ordinary people see monumental challenges, we see opportunities. And when skeptics ridicule, you know, people would say, you know, they are just a bunch of young fellows. They haven't seen the world. They are just setting themselves up to fail. We humbled ourselves. We kept our heads, and we made it through one Sunday at a time. Slowly and gradually, with a lot of God's grace, the mustard seed turns into a plant, and the plant grows into a tree. Believe it or not, this Sunday is actually the 611th time, the 611th Sunday that we have been here since January 2007. Visionaries see things not as they are, but as they can be in 5 years out, 7 years out, 10 years out, and we are a visionary church. Over the years, many more people have joined. We have grown from 30 people to 80 people, and then 120, 170, 230, 280, 340, 400, 440, 500, 550, and so on. God has been good to us, and we kept growing. Not only have they joined, not only have you joined, you know, you've shared our vision, and you have taken on the vision as your own. So you have served, you have given, you have made sacrifices. Many of you put countless hours into serving, practicing music into the late evenings, attending meetings when you could have stayed home with your families, staying behind after each Sunday to pack up the equipment. Many of you have given 5%, 8%, or even 15% of your income to the ministry of the church. So Koinonia has many, many visionaries. They are the Oikos leaders, the ministry leaders, kapos teachers, acts leaders, facilitators and servants. Many, many of you are happy to be known by the color of your t-shirts rather than by name. Do you know that when visitors walk into this church, The very first thing that they notice is not the sermon. It is not the music. It is how many people are working together to make this happen every single Sunday. I know this because I have been teaching the church life class for 12 years already, and I've been leading pre-oikos for 12 years. And every time I do a gathering like that, the first time, I always ask people, you know, introduce yourself and then share how you have come to Koinonia, why you stay, and what was your feeling, you know, when you first come to Koinonia, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? And over time and time again, this was the feedback that I get. You know, I'm really impressed by the number of people. You know, they all seem to know what they are doing, and they all work together to make this place and change this place to become a worship place. And this is a church that is so warm, is so welcoming, and is full of energy. That's the kind of feedback that I have been listening to for the past 12 years. So you are the visionaries who have made this happen, and I'm so proud of you. And so to move on to my next point, I want to introduce another legend. He is an icon. He is an icon of our time. But back in 1976, he was just 21 years old. He and his friend were hardly known by anyone, okay? They started out making circuit boards, and then they helped their friends to assemble personal computers. And the first machine that they have invented, the first invention, they call it the Apple computer. They did that in a little family garage. And since then, Steve Jobs and Apple have invented the Macintosh. They have popularized the mouse. They have popularized the graphical interface. In 2001, Steve Jobs has launched the iPod. That was phenomenal. 2007, the iPhone. 2008, the MacBook Air. 2009, the iPad. Apple is now the first $1 trillion company in the world. And I want to show you this clip. This clip was taken in 2007. Okay, that was roughly 11 years ago. Steve Jobs was about to introduce. He was going to make a very important announcement. But even if you are not a great fan, okay, you don't like him, or you haven't heard of him, you can still learn a lot from the way he made this announcement. Okay, so let's take a look at this.
This is a day I've been looking forward to for 2.5 years. Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything. And Apple has been, well, first of all, one's very fortunate if you get to work on just one of these in your career. Apple's been very fortunate. It's been able to introduce a few of these into the world. 1984, we introduced the Macintosh. It didn't just change Apple. It changed the whole computer industry. In 2001, we introduced the first iPod. And it didn't just change the way we all listen to music. It changed the entire music industry. Well, today, we're introducing three revolutionary products of this class. The first one is a widescreen iPod with touch controls. The second is a revolutionary mobile phone. And the third is a breakthrough internet communications device. So, three things: a widescreen iPod with touch controls, a revolutionary mobile phone, and a breakthrough internet communications device. An iPod, a phone, and an internet communicator. An iPod, a phone. Are you getting it? These are not three separate devices. This is one device. And we are calling it iPhone. Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone. And here it is. Now, actually, here it is, but we're going to leave it there for now.
He has his charm. Because of time, I can't show you the whole clip, but it is a fun one to watch. It is very inspiring, especially if you are learning how to do an effective presentation. That's, you know, just look it up. It's on the internet. But there is a reason why I want to show you this portion of the video. Visionaries see things as they are 5 years out, 10 years out, but they are not dreamers, right? Dreamers see things all the time. They see things every day. It is just that they don't take action on the things that they've seen. Visionaries don't just see the future. They have a roadmap to move people there. They have a strategy. They take actions, and they do it with a tremendous amount of discipline. Steve Jobs doesn't just have a good idea, you know, I wonder how it would, like, you know, how cool this will be if we put an iPod and a phone and a browser on a single device. He didn't just have a good idea. He actually designs it. Apple designs it. And they build the chip. They make the hardware. They create the iOS, and they build the apps, and they tested the multi-touch interface. They produce the phone, they announce it, and they sell it. Visionaries are not dreamers. They have a roadmap. They have a strategy. Whether it has been the Macintosh or the MacBook or the iPod or the iPhone or the iOS or the iPad, piece by piece, product by product, strategy by strategy, they are moving the company forward. They are bringing the customers with them to the future and closer towards the vision. So in the same way, Koinonia do not just come to where we are today by chance. We began the Cantonese service right here in this room, in the multipurpose room. As more people are coming, more people are joining, we have exceeded the capacity of this room, so we have moved the Cantonese service to where they are today, the big gym. In 2015, we started the youth worship. And in 2017, just last year, we have started the English worship. And in 2019, we will introduce yet another service, the morning worship service. And so that there is a strategy. And in the same way, we began the children ministry in 2006 with just seven children. And as more children are joining us, we introduce more classes, we mobilize more teachers, more servants. Today, we have 11 classes in 4 divisions, and we are using multiple classrooms, we are using a small gym. And as they continue to grow up, we have started the Acts Fellowship, and perhaps one day we will start a college student ministry as well. So piece by piece, ministry by ministry, strategy by strategy, with a lot of help from God, a lot of God's grace, we have built Koinonia to be the church that she is today. But I'm not here to tell you what we have done in the past. I want to share with you our strategy to move this church forward to the future. So I'm going to share 7 of them. There are 7 of them. Number 1, Koinonia will become a bilingual and multi-ethnic congregation. So in 5 to 7 years, when you walk in on Sunday, you won't just see yellow skin, black hair, and Cantonese-speaking Christians. There will be Caucasians, there will be East Indians, Filipinos, Koreans, Japanese, Singaporeans, and so on, not just Chinese. And when you greet people in the morning, you can't just assume that they understand you when you speak Cantonese, right? But that's a good thing. That's the future. Number 2, our children are growing up. Many of them are in middle school today, and soon they will be in high school. In 5 to 7 years, so if you do the calculation, some of them will be in college, right? They will be facing the tough questions of whether Christianity has any relevance to their lives at all. They will be wondering whether the childhood faith that they have been taught, they have known for so long, whether it is just another form of control that the parents have given them to subject them under. Should they walk out from church? Should they leave their friends behind? And if not, what is the point of coming to church every Sunday? So there's going to be turbulence ahead. There will be some challenges. But there is also a real opportunity here if we are willing to walk with them during this period. Number 3. We will continue to invest heavily into Kapos, into our children ministry. Because through Kapos, many parents have invited their neighbors, their friends to church, and their children have invited many of their classmates to church, and many people have joined Koinonia through Kapos, and we want to keep it that way. Number 4, we are so thankful that we have a music academy. Just this year, we have graduated the first batch of students, and they are already serving on the music team. And we look forward to many more Christians. Some of you have music talents to join the KMA in the next few years. Number 5, we have some serious work to do in the area of generosity and caring. And the pastoral team is aware of that. We are working on it, and we are seeing a great opportunity now to serve the sick, to serve the elderly in the church, in this church, and also in our city. So we want to equip you. We want to mobilize you. And it's going to be a long-term project. We will be launching a caring ministry very probably in 2019. Number six. This is an area that I've been thinking a lot. This is an area that I've been praying for almost every single day. In 7 years, I'm going to be 60 years old, and I know I won't be leading this church forever. So that's why we are actively preparing the next generation of pastors, starting with a hiring strategy. As you have probably noticed, we are hiring young pastors, fresh graduates even from seminary. Some of them are seminarians, and we want to hire them. We want to mentor them, we want to coach them, and we expect them to gradually take on more and more responsibilities. And in the next few months, you're going to hear from us. We are going to share with you our plan to expand the pastoral team. Number seven, Koinonia does not own, we don't own any property. We don't have a church building. Instead, we are renting this place. We are renting the Richmond Secondary School for our Sunday services. We are renting the Richmond Christian School for on Friday for small groups. And we are renting KC and KO as our offices. Now, right now, all four venues, all of our venues are either reached capacity or have exceeded capacity. You have probably felt it somehow over the summer. When you arrive at 11 o'clock in the morning, you can't find a parking spot, right? That's our bottleneck. You have also felt it on Friday when you've come to small groups, when you've come to Acts Fellowship. The school is, you know, the RCS is beginning to feel a little bit, you know, there aren't enough classroom for all of us. The staff team is experiencing it every day as they worked in a cramped workspace. Some staff has to share a workstation, and it's definitely not the ideal work environment for our staff. And if we don't take actions today, venue limitation will be our greatest hindrance to growth. It will be the greatest hindrance to growth. So Pastor Joshua has already shared with you last week that we will be starting a morning service in July 2019, next year. And this week, I want to tell you, we are also looking for an 8,000 square feet office space to be called the Koinonia Ministry Center to replace our two offices, KO and KC. And we are launching a pledging campaign to raise $800,000 for this project. We are hoping that we can secure the funds, secure the pledge of this amount, and we can also find a suitable venue by January. So very soon, in about 4 months, a little bit more than 3 months' time, we want to find a suitable venue, and we want to secure a pledge of $800,000. And we will continue to share information with you. We will give you more information the next month. So as you can see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that's our strategy. That's the roadmap of moving this church forward. Because visionaries see things not as they are, but as they can be. We are always looking out in 5 to 7 year time frames. And visionaries have a roadmap to move the church forward and to bring the congregation towards the vision. In that way, Koinonia was started by visionaries. It is being built by visionaries, and it will continue to attract visionaries to join. Over the past 12 years, I've seen many people join the church, right? Most of them came enthusiastically. They liked the music. They like the sermons, they like the pastors, they like the hospitality, they like the children ministry, they like the time, they like the location. It is so convenient. There's so many dim sum restaurants nearby, so it must be God's will. God must be leading us to this church. But then I've also seen people leaving the church. Honestly, over the past 12 years, I've seen many people leaving the church. After 6 months, after a year, when the initial excitement has worn off, when reality sets in, you know, every 6 months or so, the pastoral team would come on stage and they would cast a vision, encouraging the congregation to take ownership of the ministry, to commit to serve, and to be faithful in our offering. People thought they are coming on board a cruise ship, right? When you are on a cruise ship, nobody wake up early in the morning to serve others. Nobody wake up on Sunday morning, especially, to serve other people. It just doesn't make sense. So after about a year, it dawns on them that this is not a cruise ship. This is a battleship. And so they leave. And that's fine, right? Because I believe that Christians should always find a church with a vision that they believe is important. But those of us who stay, those of us who remain here, it tends to be visionaries who are willing to make sacrifices for what they believe is important. So we join small groups. We serve on Sunday. Some of us serve on two teams. Some crazy people serve on three teams or even four teams. You step up, you become leaders, you give generously, and together we are building a visionary church. We are willing to dream big, we are willing to make sacrifices, and we are willing to take risks. With this, I want to introduce you to our final guest this morning. This guy has become a little bit of a controversy lately, but he too has a humble beginning. At age 19, Mark Zuckerberg launched a social networking website in his dorm room at Harvard University. The year was, if you remember, it was 2004. The website, of course, is called thefacebook.com. 14 years later, everybody knows Facebook. Even if you are not an active user, you probably keep an account open just to keep up with your friends. Now, I want you to listen to this interview.
That's changing so quickly. The biggest risk you can take is not taking any risk. And I really think that that's true, right? I mean, a lot of people, I think that, whenever it comes to, whenever you get yourself into a position where you have to make some big shift in direction or do something, there are always, people are going to point to the downside risks of that decision. And locally, they're maybe right, right? I mean, for any given decision that you're going to make, there's upside and downside. But in aggregate, if you are stagnant and you don't make those changes, then I think you're guaranteed to fail, right? And not catch up. So to some degree, I think it's really right that over time, the biggest risk that you can take is to not take any risks.
Over time, the biggest risk that you can take is not to take any risk at all. So number one, visionaries see things not as they are, but as they can be. Number two, visionaries follow a roadmap. Number three, visionaries take measured risk. I mean, surely people are going to say, you're going to hear people say, we already have a Cantonese service, right? Why would we want another one? And then we started the English worship. But we already have a service. Why do we need a Cantonese? Why do we need an English? Why do we need So now we have all of them, right? Are you happy? We have Cantonese, we have English, we have youth, we have children. We have the whole suite. So why do we need a morning worship, right? Don't we have enough work already? Won't we be spreading ourselves too thin? I mean, 500 people, 550 people, we're growing to become a 600-people congregation. That's a good size. I mean, why do you want more people to come? And remember, we have $86,000 deficit. And you're telling me that we need more staff? You need a bigger budget? That means taking on more risk? And now you're going to fundraise, all right? How much are you going to fundraise? You're going to fundraise $800,000. $800,000. Are you out of your mind? What is wrong with the status quo? I mean, why can't everybody just sit back and enjoy the cruise? We understand that. The church council has discussed it. The staff team has discussed it extensively. And we have shared the plan with our ministry leaders and our all-cost leaders, and we have prayed about it. And I think we would all agree on three things. Number one, we are not seeing things as they are. We are seeing things as they can be in 5 years, in 7 years. That's the time frame when our son, when our daughter will be graduating elementary school. That's the time frame when our teenager will be graduating high school. That's the time when our college kid will be getting their degrees. That's how far we are looking into the future. And we are laying the groundwork today. We are paying it forward. By the way, do you know how many children come to Koinonia just last Sunday? Just last Sunday. From toddler to preschool to elementary all the way up to grade 9. 120. God has entrusted over 120 children to our care. And that's not counting the grade 10 to grade 12 and the college students. What we are doing now is preparing a path for them, is preparing a runway for them. Number two, we've agreed that we have a roadmap, we have a strategy, we just need to execute. And number three, we agree that the plan involves risk, but the biggest risk one can take is not to take any risk at all. Do you remember the another parable that Jesus told in Matthew 12? He says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. And there's a man, and he found the treasure in the field, and quickly he immediately covered it up. And then in his joy, he goes and he tells his wife. And the wife comes to check it out, and lo and behold, there it is, a treasure hidden in the field, right? But wait a minute. This field doesn't belong to us. It is not ours to take. So she comes home, she scolds her husband, you know, why are you coveting your neighbor's field? You know, that's against the commandment. Why can't you be happy with what you have? No, I'm just kidding. That's not how the story goes, okay? This is how the story goes. He covered it up quickly, and then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has and buys that field. Just in case you missed it. In his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has to buy that field. His family, his neighbors have no idea what is going on. What is he doing? The whole town is laughing at him. What a fool. You know, that field has been desolated for so long. That field is at the outskirts of town. I mean, why would anyone want to trade premium land with that piece of land? But in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field, because he knows that there is a treasure there. Brothers and sisters, we are that person, a fool in the eyes of the world. Ever since day one, we have been a fool. I mean, who would start a church at a high school when you have no money, you have no asset, and you have no congregation, right? We are not bringing 200 people to start to plant a church. There was no congregation. You have to be crazy. But we are crazy, aren't we? Waking up 7 a.m. on Sunday morning to load up the trucks. Standing at the entrance, standing in the parking lot to welcome people when it is raining and cold outside. Setting up all these equipment, setting up the hardware, only to tear it down in 2 hours. This is who we are. We are a visionary church. People see things as they are all the time. 2018, that's it. We see things as they can be in 2027. People see a school. We see a sanctuary. People see challenges. We see opportunities. People see desolation. But we see treasure waiting to be unearthed right here at the center of Richmond. So, visionaries, may I invite you to stand? Will you join me in prayer? Mm-hmm. There is only one prayer that is fitting to close this sermon. And that's the prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us what we need today. Forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
Of Christ passed down through generation, the Son of God teaching us to pray, echo words, Father, have your will, your way in me, completely we wholly trust your faithful in provision. Amazing grace, mercy for our sins. May we forgive the way that you've forgiven us, O Lord, so we can sing. Deliver us from the evil one. Lord, you reign, and here we stand victorious in your name. Together
receive the benediction. May you be strengthened with power through the Spirit that is in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we have asked or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.